Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
If we're going to do an R35 GTR record, mm-hmm. I would feel like that car needs to be an R35 GTR. Mm-hmm. It's going to have a GTR transmission. It's going to have to all be all-wheel drive, and it's going to have independent rear suspension, because that's what a GTR is. A big controversy, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, that's not the GTR record because the car's not all-wheel drive anymore.
One thing we can agree on is that there will not be any fast Hellcats at FL2K. And I try to tell people, the only thing that can beat a GTR is a V10 or a GTR. They don't make power. They'll never beat my car. Sorry to let you guys know, but it will not happen.
What's up, guys? So since you guys have been enjoying the podcast so much, we're dropping our first official Street Alpha Podcast set merch. So we have all sizes. Make sure you guys hit the links below to get your merch. And also, make sure you guys get your keychains and lanyards to support the brand. Also, make sure you guys cop the Street Alpha GSF collab merch. It is so fire. You guys need to get yours. So cop out before they sell out. Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha Podcast. I'm your host, Tooks, and we are back at FL2K over here at Bradenton Motorsports Park. If you guys are in Florida, October 3rd to October 6th. Make sure you guys get your tickets for this event. It's going to be a banger, I promise you. So today we have Nathan Ciccio, who was on the podcast previously before, and we also have Dan Rue as well, back for another guest appearance. So let's clap it up for these two guys.
I'm clapping for you.
Yeah, I'm clapping for you too.
So it's a pleasure to have both of you guys on the podcast.
Pleasure to be here.
Glad we're able to link again. Dan, of course, you guys know this is his third appearance on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys will be seeing Dan more on the podcast as well. So stay tuned for that. So Nathan, you have a couple of cars that you're going to be bringing out to FL2K this year, correct?
Yep, 13.
And then are you going to have any personal cars there?
My R8 will be
there. Your R8.
Yep.
So what are you expecting to do this year with the R8?
My R8?
Yeah.
I mean, I always just go out trying to do better than I did the last event. It's kind of my only real goal, to beat myself.
Yeah.
So that car has been 752 at 201. So I would like to go into the 740s at 202. I'll be happy. You know, like, I mean, yeah, that's always my goal. I just want to come out. I want the car to run. I want it to be consistent. I want to learn some stuff, you know, for the customers and for myself. And yeah, I want to go faster than I went last time. You know, that's really my only thing.
So is there anybody that you that's like a tight competition with you?
I think there's a lot of people, a lot of competition coming this year. I mean, yeah. T1's bringing a bunch of cars, you know, right, you right. have local guys at 316. I'm sure they'll bring some, you know, 3 or 4 cars or whatever they bring. They always have some cars out here.
Yeah.
Hefner always is out here. You know, I usually just Hefner's car, maybe yeah. one or two of his clients. And he's always that car might not be the fastest car that's out there, but he is a stone cold killer at the light, man. So he's somebody to watch out for. When he goes to events, he tries to win, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of V10 competition and a lot of GTR competition as well. We have 8 V10s and 5 GTRs.
Yeah. 8 V10s and 5 GTRs.
Yeah. 8 V10s all over 2,000 wheel.
Yeah. So now between the GTRs and the V10s, like out of the customers, who usually performs the best between the two platforms?
Well, sense, that's a big crapshoot. You know, I mean, the situation with the V10s is they're a much newer platform, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody really wants to kind of admit that, but it is a very new platform. And the people that have been doing 2,000-ish wheel horsepower have been doing it for, what, 2 years? 2.5? Other than underground, but they're not drag racing. They haven't been drag racing, right? So we're talking about drag racing. Now, roll racing is a little different story. Obviously, that's been happening a little bit longer, but the masses have been doing V10s for a lot shorter amount of time than GTRs. And so the reality of the situation is with time comes experience, and with experience becomes faster cars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. So the GTRs, I would say, are probably more dialed as far as just the consistency of all the parts that go into them and, you know, the the recipe, we'll call it, right?
Right.
But the GTR, we learned so much, or excuse me, the V10, we learned so much from the GTR that it, like, it's getting exponentially faster to get it up to, you know, that same similar point. So the V10s are, I mean, man, they're getting really consistent and really fast. You know, Dodson's doing a great job with the gear sets, which is helping us a ton.
Yeah.
Because we were breaking a bunch of transmission parts and now we're not. Mm-hmm. So, man, that helps us because now we can try to break. I mean, the reality is you just try to break other stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just a matter of the weakest link in the chain. So yeah, we're learning a lot. We got a couple of billet block cars. I think we have four billet block cars that are coming
on the V10 or the
V10s.
Okay.
Yep. One GTR billet block. We never really got into the race, like big time drag racing GTR scene. We were more street. We stayed a little bit more street. So we don't have a ton of like forward facing billet block GTR stuff. It's just not, it never was really our thing.
Okay.
We could do it. Somebody came to me tomorrow and said, "Hey, listen, I want you to build me a 6-second GTR. This, you know, I could do it for sure." But it just wasn't it. We always built street cars.
Right.
I'm actually more excited about this event than I've been for an event in a long time.
Me too. I feel like it's going to be a banger this year, especially. No disrespect to TX2K, but the culture outside of the track itself, like, that kind of got shut down with all the police and everything. So yeah. I feel like FL2K will definitely. Kind of make up for that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, and just Florida is just Florida. I mean, Texas is cool. There's nothing wrong with Texas, right? But like, Florida's doing some really cool. I mean, the aura here in the car scene is just growing, and it is. It really, really is. So when you leave here after the event, during the event, in the evenings, man, there is always stuff to do or things going on, and big time stuff, whether it be shows or races or this or that, whatever. So
right,
yeah, that's cool. I'm excited about it, and I'm really excited about. The group of people that we have coming, our group of customers, is just going to be a lot of fun to hang out with. So I love that part of it. So I've just got a good core group of customers that are going to be in the camp with us.
Yeah.
I'm just stoked to hang out.
Yeah. Who you bring around you on trips is definitely important. That's the most important part.
Big time.
Are you racing at FL2K this year? I'm sure the viewers want
to
know.
We'll see.
So what's going on? What's going on with your GTR, man? What's up?
New setup. Don't worry about it. It's oil change. Everybody's going to see it soon.
Oil change?
Total new setup.
Are we going to see it at FL2K?
Yeah.
So it'll be done, you think?
Yeah, it should be.
Remember, this comes out before FL2K. So.
I know, it should be. So hopefully we make it happen ASAP.
So now where you're at.
Look directly into the camera and tell the shop. Like,
Hey, look, man, shit gets expensive. People don't realize. When you build big power cars, it's expensive. Wow.
We could do a whole hour-long podcast on that.
It's expensive, guys. It doesn't matter how much money you got. You can break something and it's just going to cost you $20,000.
Well, the build is just the start.
Yeah.
The build is just the start.
That's the start. You know, you better be ready to have some money. But no, it's just a new setup. I have some really good sponsors. Now I have Boost Logic, Precision, Bellic, you know, shout out to Rob for tuning the car. Let's see. We got the Shop Houston, of course, always building the car right.
Shout out to Mac. Yep.
Shout out to Mac. You know, I'm just happy, man.
So
really happy.
If this car, so with the amount of time and money put into it, right?
Oh, and PPG, shout out to PPG.
Oh, PPG.
Helping me with the transmission gears. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can't forget that.
So now with this setup, right? With how much time and money you have into it.
Yeah.
Let's say, God forbid, something happens with the car. Are you like, do you think you'll be out for a while?
I mean, no, not really. People don't realize this is not, I love the car content. And I was telling you like earlier, like I'm just busy doing entertainment. I can say this. I love racing. I've been in the culture my whole life. I've already explained myself multiple times about that. But unfortunately, I have a job that is entertainment. I am busy. I do marketing for a lot of different companies under the table, not just promoting from my page. You know, I work with big names. And I've been working with Snoop Dogg for 3 years and he's got me busy. You know, I'm in LA, I'm on the West Coast. Whether it's doing something for him, he's got so many brands. Snoop Dogg's got his foot in everything. So I'm helping him and his company doing marketing and different things, but that's just one name. You know, I work with other people and I'm always just busy and I don't have the time that I really want to, because unfortunately the car racing scene, there's not a lot of money in it. People don't realize you build these race cars.
You did mention that on your episode.
Yeah, there's really no, realistically, and shout out to Vic, because Vic's trying to make a change in that.
Yeah,
when you come out here and race, you got let's say you have $100,000 in a car, right? You win a race, you might get $10,000, maybe.
Right, maybe.
And what does that pay for? The trip?
You know? Yeah.
If that.
Just to get
depends
down,
on
man.
How many guys, you,
exactly.
how many people you bring, you know,
So people don't realize how much money this shit costs. You know, you have a lot of people who average anywhere from 10 to 15 that the basic people, I would say the basic guys who individually build their cars, you know, they'll spend 10 to 15 grand on getting a booth, trailer, gas, everything, you know, one pass of fucking methanol is, I don't even know how much it is. It's like $100.
Yeah. How much is, methanol, like, is it expensive?
I'll be really honest with you. We don't run a lot of methanol, so I don't really know.
Oh, okay, you don't. Okay.
I don't think it's that expensive, but it burns a lot of it.
Yeah, it's quick, you know, and a lot of these cars, you know, a lot of the Pro Mods, half-cut cars, or even street cars, they're running, you know, if it's a fuel cell, they'll run like a small 10-gallon for one pass, you know, have to fill it up. That's $100 every time you go down the track.
Yeah.
Maybe more. I don't know.
It's expensive.
But, you know.
Yeah, that's the cheapest thing.
And that's the cheapest thing, you know, like, instead of, like you were saying, if something breaks.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, I'm going to get it together. It may take a couple months, but I got other shit going on.
Right,
so I'm always going to be making money to do what I got to do. And of course, I'm always going to be in cars, man.
Yeah.
I love cars, you know. And I, like I told you, Pat, recently, like I got my little secret car that I'm building on the side of my dad's car. So my dad had an S13.
Oh,
I'm going to do something crazy with it. So cool. The internet's going to love that. So yeah, sick.
Yeah, I remember years ago talking to JR, the owner of Extreme Turbo Systems. When they were running Giddy, you know, Giddy was running that car and running like, you know, mid sixes, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. and shooting for the record. He told me that his math was that it was $10,000 a pass.
$10,000 a pass.
$10,000 a pass. Jesus, that was his math.
Is that going for sixes?
Yeah, that was, I mean, they were already running sixes and they were going for the record, right? And so that was like, you know, running from whatever, 680s to 650s and going, I mean, sending it. 100 PSI boost to like
2014, something like that?
No, this was. Three, four years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but I mean, transmissions, you know, engines, suspension, I mean, you name it, you know, whatever it would have been, you know, by the time you go back and then it's like, you have to refresh the stuff for the next event, even if it didn't break.
Yeah.
You know, even if it didn't break, you're not going to drag, like you just said, you're not going to drag a whole entire truck and trailer, all these people all the way across the country to go to another race mm-hmm. with a bunch of stuff that has, you know, 10 passes on it or 15 passes on it. You can't. Exactly. You know, so
it's not ideal.
So yeah, I mean, he did the calculation. Yeah, he said it
makes sense. Makes sense.
Sorry for throwing your stuff out there, JR. Probably not watching this anyway.
No, I would have never thought it was $10,000 pass. That's pretty.
A lot of those motors run aluminum rods too, so those do need to be changed.
Yeah, you gotta rebuild. It's gotta come all the way apart and rip it all the way. You know, rebuild the entire thing, and then if you break one gear set, just one gear set's $15,000.
Wow. Yeah.
You know,
shit.
And that's just GTRs. What are the prices on like V10 stuff now? I mean.
Yeah,
as far as transmission stuff, the V10 stuff is probably, I would say it's probably 20% more or so, like a 20-25%, like a fully built, like nasty, anything you can throw at it, transmission is about 75,000.
Okay.
And then that GTR, I think it's probably more like 50.
Mm-hmm. Now, at that price point, don't between quote the both, me. Right?
<That's> a, 20% makes sense.
Yeah.
So at that price point, 75,000 for a V10 and 50,000 for, you said, GTR, correct?
Yeah, trans.
Now, at 75,000, you can pretty much go down the track, do a bunch of passes, and be not bulletproof, but more reliable than a GTR. Or
you can run the car until it breaks. Yeah,
yeah.
You could literally run until it breaks.
Just like you said. Just like you said. You don't know. It's like rolling dice.
Yeah,
you could get two passes. You could get 100 passes.
I mean, we're getting more. The cars are getting more reliable, right? But at the end of the day, you're making 2,500 horsepower. It's a car, man. Like, I mean, there is no telling, right? You get
correct.
At 2,500 wheels. So I tell my clients, like, as power goes up, right, the risk goes up, right? Mm-hmm. And the margin of error goes down, right? Yeah. Like, so you only have to make this big of a mistake to make this big of a problem when the power is big, right? Yeah. Now, so like, when you think about a 2,500 horsepower car, if one injector is off by 5%, your motor's going to go boom, right? But at 1,500 wheel, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right, because you're not as close to that margin of safety.
And I got warned by the shop. He said, hey, you're making 15-ish, you're jumping the gun. it's just gonna go crazy. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, 2,500 wheel, I mean, what, a little bit of wheel hop, and all of a sudden, boom, there goes something. You know, might be second gear, might be an axle, might be a stub, who knows? You know, but at that power level, it's just like we were talking about earlier. The reality is the cost of entry is just that.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of entry.
Yeah.
It's just like a boat. It's just like a plane. It's just like owning anything that's big money, right?
Right.
When you buy it, that's the first thing you have to spend money on, but it ain't the last thing. You know, it's maintenance, it's slip fees, it's hangar fees, it's plane fuel, it's diesel fuel on your boat. It's, you know, like you own a big like fishing boat, you know, you're spending $15,000-$20,000 a month, you know, to keep that thing going. And you had to spend $1 million to get it. but it's about that. And it's racing is the same way. It all just depends on how much you race and yeah. what it's going to cost.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Now, for your black, I think it was a black R8 you had mm-hmm. at Shift Sector. Is that going to be here too?
Yep. Black R8's going to be here. We've got a blue Huracan Evo that's going to be here that is the same setup, billet block, zone rotor turbos, of course, billet fully built. But yeah, we have with the black one, that one, we got another gray R8 that's coming as a billet block, and then, you know, four or five cast block cars. I mean, it should be ranged from 2200 to 25, 26, just depends on where we turn them, you know. Again, for me, the customers having fun is really like what matters to me. Like yeah. we're not going shooting for sixes. We're not, that's just not, it's not where we're at. It's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to run some really good times, enjoy some camaraderie, you know, shake some things up a little bit, and hopefully drive them all in the trailer.
So is there any,
that's the big thing. If you can make sure you get in and get out
right.
without any problems. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes the customer experience better.
Yeah, that's true.
So are there any cars that you guys, both of you guys have been at FL2. I haven't been there. It's my first year going, guys. So I'm excited about that. That's but are there any cars that you guys both look forward to seeing, making some amazing passes this year?
You know, of course, the shop, Kimbo, you know, okay. I love seeing Max car go down the track. You know, his unique build is a little different. If you've seen it, single turbo setup, intake manifolds backwards, mm-hmm. it's all manual throttle body cables now. It's mm-hmm. really cool. It's a different VR, you know.
Yeah. Rear wheel drive,
yeah. small tire, 275. You know, I mean, that's cool seeing that car go down the track. It's not just because, you know, I'm with the shop.
You're not being biased,
not being biased. It's a cool car, and it's unique to see a rear wheel drive GTR go down here, and he's already, what, 660s, 650s, mm-hmm. 213. On a small 275, that's amazing, you know.
No, that is a cool car. I agree with you. It's interesting because like that transition from GTR street car to GTR race car really is the V. You know, it is the GR6. It is getting rid of the GR6.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it is. And going to that TRS 400 or you know whatever. I think a Liberty. A couple people have played with. Mm-hmm. And that whole realm is interesting because it's pretty controversial. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your, you know, what is the GTR record? And is it rear wheel drive? Is it all wheel drive? Is it a rear wheel drive GR6? Because I believe that was George. T1. Mm-hmm. He went rear wheel drive GR6, mm-hmm. right? And went faster than Giddy and ETS, mm-hmm. right?
But then
that big controversy, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, that's not the GTR record because the car's not all wheel drive anymore. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is because it's a GR6, right? It's like, okay. You know, okay, now it's a GR6 rear wheel drive record and a GR6 all wheel drive record. But
what do you guys think though about that? Like, what are your personal thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good point that you said.
I can kind of agree on that. But the thing is, for me personally, I think if it's got a GTR motor, I don't care what transmission or rear end you run. That's my personal opinion. As long as it's got a GTR motor in it, whether it's an RB, a VR, if you're going down the track, you're running sixes, I think it's a GTR. That's my.
I mean, my mentality. I think. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Like you built your car to enjoy your car. If you have more fun with the car and you break less stuff with a turbo 400 and that's the game you want to play and you want to go racing, you want to bump in, mm-hmm. you want to be able to run a pro tree, like then that's the car you built.
Yeah.
And you go as fast as you can in that mm-hmm. car. Right. And if you want to do an all wheel drive thing and you want to chase really, really fast things, then great. That's the car you built.
Yep.
So whose record is what? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like all kind of funny to me.
Can I ask you, from what I said, like, I believe it's a GTR as long as it has a GTR motor in it. Do you agree with that? Or are you
I think there's got to be levels to it, right? Because like, so you're talking about if we were just going to GTR record.
If it would be a GTR and a GTR
R35
record.
GTR record.
Yeah.
So if we're going to do an R35 GTR record, mm-hmm. I would feel like that car needs to be an R35 GTR. Mm-hmm. It's going to have a GTR transmission. It's going to have to all be all-wheel drive, and it's going to have independent rear suspension because that's what a GTR is.
Okay.
But I'm not going to argue somebody about that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you've got a 4-link and a 9-inch and a turbo 400. Yeah. Well, cool. Have a great time. There's the track.
You know, like he said, you know, everyone has their own opinions. That's where – and some people – we're having a conversation here, but some people want to argue – and bump heads all day. Well, you're wrong. I'm right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just opinions.
Well, the fun part is there is no such thing in that space.
Exactly.
Like there is no wrong and right.
Yep.
It's just a matter of opinion.
Exactly.
So all you're doing is just arguing in circles. Because you can't go to the dictionary and go, what is a real drag racing GTR?
It's like
a
Spider-Man thing. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's being honest. It's like street racing. You lock in a race. You really don't know what the fuck that person has. Right.
Yeah.
If you race two GTRs, stock location car. Well, I got a 1200X kit. You want to run it? this man's pushing 2,000 wheel, you wouldn't know.
Right.
The stock location is very yeah. scary.
Well, then you start, like, and then you want to trip over into real. The real argument is, what's a street car?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, let's not go there, right? Like, what's a street car? Man, that's a whole. Everybody's got a different opinion about that. You know, it's got a license plate.
It's got a license. It's got a tail light. Right. One little light.
Does that change with the exotics though? Because a lot of those cars are on the street with 2,000 horsepower, whatever it is.
I try to tell people my personal opinion on a street car. Is a fine definition of my car. It's a full interior car, no roll cage, no parachute, and it makes big power. Has AC. Some guys want to come up with a pro mod, half cut front car. Oh, it's a street car. It's got a headlight and a taillight. I said, bro, that's not a street car, you know? That's my personal opinion. And then when you talk about what you just said, yeah, 90% of the Lamborghinis I see are all street cars because.
And they're full interior, power, yeah.
Twin turbo kit. It's just
we just need to walk a nice, classy lady in a nice dress with some nice heels around and be like, get him in the passenger seat and say, is this a street car? And she'll go, no. Go to the next one.
Okay.
That's how you do it. That's your barometer, man. Just walk around, sit in this one. Is that a street car? No. Is this a street car? Yeah.
Well, what if she say? What if she says, what's a street car?
Yeah,
she
well, not even know. Okay. Would you want to go to, okay, don't say that. Would you want to go to dinner in this car, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I agree with you. Full interior. The roll bar thing, I'm completely okay with because I think that's cool.
Simple roll bar.
Yeah. I think that's cool to have like at least a Hans.
It's cool.
Personally.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily worry about the rollover thing, but the Hans thing I think is important to not have a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
And then full interior. Mm-hmm. Obviously I like the AC idea, right? Because if you pull AC out of the car, in my opinion, it's not a street car anymore, right? Like unless it didn't come with AC.
Yeah, a lot of people want to argue the fact, well, if you didn't drive it to the track, it's not a street car. I was like, look, man, I live in Cali.
Right.
Cars, I got a trailer it there, you know. Yeah. I mean, if we were, but hear me out, Texas 2K. I was there. Where were we staying? About what, an hour away?
Yeah, like 45 minutes.
We stayed
away.
There for 5 days. I drove back and forth every day in my car. I did, even in the rain.
Yeah.
That was scary. Don't do that on 15s. But.
Well, there was a huge, and I'm not going to go too deep into this because I don't want to get, but there was a huge deal about that with my R8 versus a Workhorse Performances car, mm-hmm. the one that we tied the 60 to 130 record.
Yeah, really?
Right?
Yeah.
And
oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, that car is on a 15. It's, you know, I mean, we don't go to its carbon doors. It's, you know, we won't necessarily go down the list of things that make it something you wouldn't want to drive to California.
Yeah.
And my car literally, like, I mean, it, you could get in that car and drive it to LA right now. Like, absolutely. AC has all the creature comforts. The only thing it's got is carbon seats in the thing, which, I mean, it could be removed, but that's the only thing it's got. Everything else is full on street stuff. DOT tire, a 17. Drives great, runs great, stereo, crank it. It's got everything from this complete factory. So there's like, okay, so what's the street record? You know, is that really a street car? What is not a street car? Not that I'm saying that their car isn't a street car. I'm not saying that, but it was a big controversy mm-hmm. online. Like, oh, you know, this isn't the street record. What's the street record? Mm. All of it's BS. Just like, all of it is just a bunch of drama to me. It's like, come on, just build your car, enjoy your car. Like I said, like if it's a Turbo 400, cool. If it's got a GTR trans, cool.
I like drama. You want to start some drama?
No.
Can I say something? Come on.
Let's get
some drama. One thing we can agree on is that there will not be any fast Hellcats at FL2K.
That's drama in this circle.
No, I think not. But that's, no, that's drama in general. Drama in somewhere, circle, yeah. Someplace, somebody's gonna be like, oh, you know. It's like, but no, it's funny. But you know, I mean, I try to tell people, and we kind of spoke about this off camera. The only thing that can beat a GTR or a V10, or a GTR is a V10 or a GTR. There's nothing in the that's the circle, the platform that.
Yeah.
What is considered roll racing, or, you know, I mean, I would say majority roll racing. Yeah. Let's stick to roll racing and say that.
It's a good thing Calvo is not here.
It is a V10, though.
It is a V10.
So
you're right.
In the V10 platform, that's what I say. The Vipers, the Huracan R8, you know.
Okay.
I
mean,
okay.
Yeah, you can't, there's nothing else competing with
with
that in the roll racing world.
That's kind of weird because the Viper is technically a Mopar.
It is.
It's like one of those things where I guess V10 is technically classified as like a R8 Lambo.
Well, I mean, it's still V10. You know,
it is a V10, but
yeah, I say V10, I clarify that
all V10s.
All V10s.
Okay.
Listen, the situation is, if we're just being honest about the Viper, is, I mean, they can't do it either. Like, I mean, they're great cars. They're super fast. They make tons of power.
But
they
don't go.
Oh, me too. Yeah. They're sick. But they don't go A to B like a R8 or a Huracan or a GTR. They just don't.
He's right.
On a track, maybe, right? Roll racing with some prep, maybe. But you get out, you know.
On the street, yeah, it's scary.
No way.
It's real drive, man. It's scary.
So why don't we see a lot of Hellcats, you guys think, at the, are winning anything?
I mean, just like they're heavy. They're heavy and they're just, they don't make power. People just, I made a prime example on the internet.
I think they make power.
They make power. Prime example. You probably don't be in touch with this. So I went out and I called out Demonology and we raced.
Oh, that's right. You guys did run.
We did run. Yeah. This is stripped to the bone. I think the car was actually lighter than my GTR. Parachute, full roll cage, harness. It's I think he had a 200 or 300 shot on top of a 3.8 blower, built motor, Hellcat. We did a roll race. I gave him two cars in the hit, and I ended up about 5-6 cars ahead of him. And I let off 100 feet to the, still trapped 185, letting off. And, you know, I mean, that just shows, like, that's a prime example. Like, man, that's a full out blown. And then now he went twin turbo and wants to rerun it. I said, bro, it's cool. I'll race any Hellcat.
What are the highest horsepower ones of the, I don't even know. What are the big power car? Are they making 2,000?
Yeah, they're making 2,000. Some of them are making 2,000. They have a couple twin turbo ones that make like 2,300 wheel. So, I mean, shout out to them. I tell people it's a heavy car.
I mean, I feel like they're in a different, like, you have different categories, right? Like your Mustang and your Hellcat.
Yeah.
And your Vet category. Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. You know, the GTR, maybe the the Viper, your Lamborghini R8. Category, yeah. Right? Like, it's, you don't box out of your class.
You don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, that also comes to how much what we talked about, the street car probability. Now, look at Snot Rocket. That's a fucking half-cut car, race car. Some people consider that like, oh, it's a street car. It's got lights. And that's not a street car. But, you know, that car's running 630s, you know. I my hat goes off to the Mustang guys. But when it comes to full interior cars, a rear-wheel drive car can't keep up with what we got going on. The V10, the GTRs, and the Huracans, RH, same shit. But, you know, they can't compete. The rear-wheel drive car in a roll racing competition on the street, even really street racing with a well-built GTR or R8 on the street, you can't fuck with it. If you're doing, now eighth mile is different. You know, eighth mile, that's a different thing on the street. But when you want to race 1,320 feet, you can't beat those two cars, like on the street. Well-built cars.
I mean, do you agree, Nathan?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't get caught up in too much of that stuff, but I mean, my thought process is that, you know, there's always going to be somebody faster.
Always.
Yeah. There's always going to be somebody faster. There's always going to be somebody that stretches the rule book just a little bit differently than you do or whatever. And at the end of the day, none of us are doing this because we're making tons of money or, you know, going out here and winning. You know, it's not Formula One, right? Yeah. We talked about this. Like, you're not going out here and winning $300-400 million to win a constructions championship in a series.
You might win 10K.
Right. Like that's not, this isn't that cutthroat, right? Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, you build your car for you.
Yep.
Right. If you're building your car to beat your buddy, you're building it for the wrong reason, right? If you're building your car to be faster, if you're building your Hellcat to be faster than a Mustang, or if you're building the Hellcat to be faster than a GTR, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. That's just what reality is. But I mean, I don't know. I just go back to, like, I feel like 15 years ago, right? Like, people didn't build their cars because of somebody else. They built it for them. Right? Yeah. And I know I beat a dead horse with this stuff, but like, I love that I want the industry to get back to the core of, I know that you like talking crap, but
I love it.
But yeah, I mean, I like the fact you build your car for you. That's why I said, when you asked me, what would you want to do out here? I didn't say, I want to beat 316. I want to beat Tony. I want to beat.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
like, of course, because I don't. I could care less. People don't think I'm telling the truth. I could care less. If I come out here and lose to every single other shop, but my car goes 1/10 faster than it went before, and I drive it in the trailer, and my customers had a good time, I'm happy. Not like fake happy. I am legitimately happy. I'm going to go have a wonderful steak dinner, and I'm going to be very, very excited about the weekend because I don't care. I don't, because I didn't build my car to beat somebody else, right? I just didn't. And then people are like, well, that's marketing. Ah, man, that's short-lived marketing. In my opinion, that is short-lived marketing.
I agree, yeah.
Like the fact that I come out here, let's just use Tony for an example because there's no beef between me and Tony. Like, let's say that I come out here and I'm in the finals with Tony, his R8 that he just built and my R8 that I just built, right? Like, it does not matter. Like, if I beat Tony, right? Like, let's just say in some...
You talk about the LMS car?
Yeah.
Yeah, that car's cool.
Dude, that car's sick.
It's sick. What's he got, twin 88s or some stupid shit? I'm pretty sure it's twin 88s.
And the amount of data and sensors and things, like, dude, it's an amazing car, right? Well, let's just say I do, right? That win is going to last for me in marketing like a week or 2 weeks.
Right.
And then what's going to sustain me is how I treat customers for the last year and the year to come, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And how I build cars and how I build, you know, how I treat them, how reliable my stuff is, how honest I am with them. That's marketing. That's sustainable business, right? But people get this thing in their head, like, I'm going to beat Sisio. I'm going to beat 316. I'm going to beat Tony. Yeah. And then I will have arrived, right? Or I'm going to beat AMS or Martin or you know, Jordan. Like, then I will have arrived. Then my business will be on to the next level. And it's such a huge misconception in the industry that they're going to go to Texas 2K, win Texas 2K, and all of a sudden their business is going to just flip 180 degrees and now they're going to be a success. Absolutely false. The completely false. Like, if you are not a steward of what you are given right now, you're not going to be a steward of what, of the thing that's to come. It's not going to be, it's not going to happen. So as far as business is concerned, I don't like the concept of we're going to go beat so-and-so or we're going to go win this because I don't think it's good for the industry as a whole.
Right.
Because as a shop owner, I don't think you should be focused on that anyway, because in my opinion, that means you're not focused on the things you should be focused on.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
I agree. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's short lived.
Yeah.
It's not
the only thing that in marketing that's not short lived is me living rent free and all the Hellcat owners, because they'll never beat my car. That is marketing for me. I'm sorry to let you guys know, but it will not happen unless I break something in a race. That's the only way they'd win. Anyway,
I think your marketing is a little bit different than my marketing.
But I'm also a customer.
Yeah.
You know, the Shop Houston's always taking care of me. That's the good thing about, like, so the biggest thing for me as a customer, when I would go race or whatever I do, if I come to Texas 2K, I go to FL 2K, if I race, I'm here at the track having fun, I'll go street race. And as long as by the end of the trip, I'm having a good time and I can put my car back in the trailer and we take it home and nothing's wrong with it, I'm happy as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that always happens with the shop. So that's why I love the Shop Houston. You know, we've had one incident a long time ago, MITM, you know, I was having fuel injection problems. That was it.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Other than that, it didn't even matter. Like, I've had a great experience with them. Everyone has experiences with, as a customer, you know, like, and I'm sure you guys have wonderful customers. I know one of them, you know, I'm saying everyone is happy for their shop and because they get the good experience.
Right.
I see Sisio at every event. He's got the fucking, he's got the girls over there. Like, yeah, we got
little palm trees and stuff.
You know, I'm like, I said, you know, I'm not a customer of the Sisio, but I got to stop by and say, hey, let me get a drink real quick. You know? No, but it's all good fun and games. But as a customer, as long as that's the happiness I get as a customer from the Shop Houston, my car goes there, I have fun, I can go street race a little bit. Don't do that, guys.
On closed roads.
On closed roads.
Yeah, yeah.
And then go home.
Yeah.
And able to keep going and having fun. That's the dream.
Yeah. You know? But that's not always the reality.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying it with your car. I'm just saying, like, there's not a shop in the world. I don't care if the shop Houston, AMS, T1, us, doesn't matter. That's not always the reality.
Yeah.
And so how that reality gets, first of all, the expectations that get set.
Yeah.
You just were talking about it. You got a new build coming. What did they tell you?
Yeah, shit could go
quick. Right, you know? Exactly, right? So, like, how did you set expectations? Did you just sell this guy, like, on the moon?
Yeah.
And then something goes wrong, and you're like, what are you talking about? You sold
me. Keep it 100 with people. That's what you got to do. Absolutely. As a shop owner.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes you don't go out and go to a race and go street racing and drive your car on the trailer. Sometimes you push that shit in the trailer with, like, five of your friends.
Yeah.
And slip on the oil that's underneath it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that happens. Nice. And it's just, how is the expectation set? How does the shop handle it? You know, are they honest with you? Did they lie to you? You know, was it negligence and they pawned it off on somebody else? Mm-hmm. Or was it just what happens and they set you up for that and said, hey, this can happen.
If you have a shop that's going to tell you, oh, I'll build you the fastest car, you'll beat everybody, you need to run.
And it'll never break.
You'll need to run away.
I really, really don't like, and I think I said this on the last podcast, I really dislike when customers are publicly given false expectations of the fact that these cars can just go out and they never have problems and there's no issues. And I'm not trying to harp on the fact that there's always problems. There's not always problems, but that is a reality of our industry because we're doing shit that should not be done.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, for me, I like to tell friends, you know, of course I'll recommend them to the shop Houston, but I also tell friends, if wherever you're at and you're trying to build something, if these guys, if this shop is not at some kind of event, racing, tuning, you know, like when you go to Texas 2K, you see all the big shop names.
Yeah.
You see the names.
Mm-hmm.
If you're building a car with somebody who's not at none of these events, don't go there.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Go to somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing because they're testing these cars.
Right.
They're tuning these cars. These guys are there testing, tuning. You're going to deal with somebody who has a shop that, let's just say, Boomer's Performance, okay? I don't know. Shout out to nobody, hopefully. Yeah. There's no Boomer's Performance out there. But, you know, if this Boomer's Performance is not at a shop testing a twin turbo R8, why go to them?
Right.
Why go to them?
Yes. Yeah. Well,
no, I agree.
Yeah. No, I agree with you as well. And there's also realities of build levels, right? So, like, if all a company does is build 800 horsepower whatevers, you know, Corvettes, but they never go to any of the big races, fine.
Yeah.
You have experience building 800 horsepower Corvettes that anybody, you know, could drive on the street, you could run, and you don't have to go to an event to do that. You don't have to be a big, and there's a lot of shops. I mean, when's the last time you saw Hennessy at an event?
I was just about to say Hennessy.
Right?
Damn.
Right? Probably the biggest shop in the country. Probably. You know, I mean, if not, I think it's got to be the biggest shop in the country.
But you're right. They build their cars to, you
packages.
Know, packages, 1,000+ little horsepower cars. Mm-hmm. And they got, you know, because at the end of the day, realistically, they don't make nothing to go to these events. You're right.
Right. So let's ask this question. If you're a customer and you want to build let's just say you're a customer and you are not brainwashed by the shop Houston and you come to me.
Not brainwashed. Experience, not brainwashed. Oh. Not.
You want me to dump that into?
You can dish it out, but you can take it.
Hey, we're all friends here.
That's funny.
We're all friends here. Hey, look, we're all friends here because I know you guys trust us. You know, one time we was in Arizona. And a simple job, Koi Boys, something happened to Koi Boys' car. Me and Mac were at the shop. Mac's like, hey, wants to put it together. And Sissy, I was like, it was a little simple thing.
I trust Mac with anything. Absolutely.
And Mac, you know, from the shop Houston.
Yeah.
They have a relationship and we fixed a Sissio car. It was a simple fix. But
of course. We talked about that in the last podcast, right?
Yeah, I think.
The group of shops staying together is just extremely important. So, but let's just say, and this is just an interesting question. Let's say you want to build a 1,200 horsepower Huracan, right? Are you going to the shop that builds nothing but 1,200 horsepower Huracans, or are you going to the shop that builds 2,200 horsepower Huracans? Because if they can build a 2,200 horsepower Huracan, they can definitely do a 1,200 horsepower Huracan. Like, that's an interesting question.
That's an interesting question.
Right? So, like, I mean, Sheepy was a good example of this, right? All he did was build stock motor cars, and he built a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, probably more than anybody still to this day built more stock motor cars. And arguably, like, back then, he was doing a pretty good job at it. I mean, he was pumping them things out. He's building stock motor cars. And that was his lane. And that's when he sold a lot of those. And then he started branching out of that lane. And we won't necessarily go there. But was that the thing that started hurting him, where he started to try to do 2,200 horsepower cars and more people decided to go to him that wanted that versus the the thing that he knew and was known for. Mm-hmm. I fight with that. And I'm asking you not because I know the answer to this, right? Because I talk all the time, like, because let's just get real. 2,500 horsepower cars, you don't make any money on.
No,
you don't make any money. As a shop, you don't make any money. There's too much liability. Nope. There's too much. It's an advertising piece. Mm-hmm. You don't make money on it because it's going to come back in.
That's the 1% of people who just try to go fast. That's
right.
It. Yeah.
And eventually it's going to come back in, whether it's a month or a year later, it's coming back in. So I don't care if God himself stitched the car together with angel hair, it's coming apart at some point.
Yeah.
Right. So it comes back in and then, you know, it's, well, you're a good customer. You just spent this much money with me. I'll give you this discount. You don't make money on those cars. Yeah. So I've thought to myself, maybe I should sell my 2,500 horsepower R8, buy a PUR for an R8 GT, build a 1,400 horsepower stock motor car, and just go beat the ever living, because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do a 1,400 horsepower R8 in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
yeah. Right?
Like, and they'll last. And the customer just call you to tell you how amazing it is, and that's the only time you ever hear from
the
them.
The reliability of the stock motor is amazing.
It's nuts.
It's really
so, but it's interesting because a lot of, like, I mean, again, Tony T1 is a good example of this. Mm-hmm. They want to build race cars, so they build race cars.
Right.
But there's so many shops that build race cars because they want to build street cars. But they don't necessarily think of it like that because the street cars is where the money is. Mm-hmm. The race cars are not where the money is unless you're building race cars. The race cars is to market the street car.
Yeah.
Well, then why aren't you building the street car to market it? And I ask myself that question all the time. Like, what is really happening in the GTR world? It happened to me as well. I built faster and faster and faster and faster. And then everybody that wanted to go fast came to me. And then I had just a huge group of people that wanted to go fast. But the 800 horsepower guy, they went to somebody else because that guy, these people build race cars, right? Yeah. Make 2,000 a year. They're probably more expensive. Mm-hmm. They probably have to wait longer. It's a bigger shop. Yeah. I'm going to go to this other guy.
Yeah.
Get my 800 horsepower car. Just food for thought kind of thing to throw out there. I think about it all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
it's all about what the customer wants too. Like, you're right. It's just not, you know, if you're not trying to do a dick measuring contest and you just want an 800 horsepower car, you would want to go with the shop that makes some more reliable cars,
right? Or does it more consistently, or maybe even a little cheaper,
right?
So, but cheap, man, that's the whole thing. Like, what is the saying? Fast. What is the thing? Pick two: fast, cheap, reliable. Yeah. Pick two.
That's tough. Yeah,
fast, cheap, reliable.
You can only pick two. You can't have all three.
Yeah, but like you said, as a customer's experience, I'm gonna go with the Shop Houston because I just have experience. So I tell all my friends, like, if you need this.
Yeah,
same thing with one of his customers would tell somebody, go to Sisio. It's all the same thing. It's
just, now in terms of like the platforms themselves, right? The GTR is pretty much. I mean, do you feel like we're at the limits of that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We were just talking about this new crazy engine that's
Elmer. Elmer is building a 5.0 VR
billet block.
Billet block. You know, supposedly over 4,500 horsepower. That's going to be when we see these motors in some of these cars that next year, hopefully at Texas 2K, it's going to be very interesting. You know, when something new comes out, it's interesting, you know.
Right.
But hear me out. The same thing might happen for the V10s and fucking 10 years from now they're coming out with something crazy too, you know.
Do you think they would need to though because of how much power those cars make on a stock
here's what block? I think the reality is you have to make the GTR more of a race car to compete with the V10.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my opinion is when the V10s start becoming race cars, there will be no way to compete with them as far as GTRs are concerned.
Yeah. And then in 20 years the flux capacitor will come out for the GTRs, right? And then we'll be able to
we'll
so more of a race car.
Yeah, well, my opinion is you have to go further with a GTR to do the same thing. Is it obviously Billy's car proves that, right? Like, can they be faster? Of course they can be faster, right? But like, in my opinion, you have to do less to a V10 to make it equal to a GTR as far as making it more race car, cutting things out of it, sacrificing creature comforts, so on and so forth.
It's scary at that point. You also got to think about some of these cars. Some of these GTRs and Huracans are already starting to lift at this power. So what happens, you throw another 1,000 horsepower on it, it's scary. Yeah. Just to think, I'm going to have to put more weight in the car.
We have laser sensors.
That's scary.
We have laser sensors on the front end. So that it measures the distance of the chassis from the ground. And if it gets too far, it starts cutting power. It's literally wired to the MoTeC.
Oh, wow. I never knew that.
I think I think that is for the GTRs too. I think Billy's car has that.
Does it?
I think so.
Billy, he might have it. I think
the thing about the GTR is the engine's in the front, so it's a lot easier. It's a lot harder to walk the thing over backwards. Yeah. But
what's the weight, curve weight on a twin turbo Huracan? Do you know?
4,100.
It's 4,100. Mm-hmm. So the GTR is a little lighter, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, an R8 is 4,100. Okay. I think that like a Perf Monte, I think you'd probably be in a 3,700, 3,800 okay, neighborhood. So yeah. Probably.
It's all around the same weight regardless. Yeah. But he is right. And it's scary. You know, I see a lot of friends. I have a lot of good friends that have fast cars. And I'd be worried about them when they go down the track. Because it's 60-40, right? The 60s in the back and the 40.
As far
I
as
see
weight.
This a lot. And when they pull the chutes, man. I mean, chutes are scary regardless. You know, but when that weight's all in the back and they're smashing the brakes, that rear end's doing this on those Huracans, it's weird.
That's the problem with the Huracan when you get on the brake or the RA. Is it just, you know, you get all that weight. It's literally just trying to push the car around.
Yeah.
It's trying to, you know, pendulum you.
It's scary.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you. Well, the whole thing's scary. Yeah. I mean, who needs 20? Who needs 3,000 horsepower cars? Like the whole thing.
No, yeah,
everybody does. We all do. You know,
No, the
whole thing's crazy.
Yeah,
the whole thing's
right,
just absolutely nuts.
But that's a good. I mean, what I just said made sense. I'm not pretty sure you can agree. We're already starting to lift, and with the power we're at now, and we're trying to add another 1,000 on it. What's going to happen? You know?
Right.
It's right. Scary, man.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of like I said, it's a matter how much of a race car do you want versus a street car, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're not, I mean, I'm sorry. We're laying some pretty crazy power to the ground, but 4,000 wheel, you ain't going out and like doing anything. It's going to get to the point where a 2,500 horsepower car is faster than a 4,000 horsepower car unless you're right here.
Yeah.
Right.
The track.
You know, and that's fine, but then it's a race car, which is great if that's what you want to build.
Yeah.
It's just a different, this is
if I'm being honest, like, I'd be scared to see Billy's car at a half mile event, because you know what he's got the You feel me? He's already doing. I know he had more. I'm pretty sure they had more 10 psi in that car, and it still did 236 in the quarter from a roll. So seeing that car in the half mile, I'd be scared to see it go because it's wind and fucking. I'd hate to see that car lift. You know?
I mean, I think it's probably pretty obvious that so would they, or where they would have done it by now.
Exactly, you're right. Right? Yeah.
Right. I don't think that the car. Not to mention the fact, I don't know where those things those things gear out.
Well, I know he's got an interesting transmission. It's like a Stage 7, something different. So I think it has taller gears. I don't know all the details about it, but I'm pretty sure that car can. I'm sure because all the build GTRs are wrapping to 10.5, something like that. You know. 10,000 or whatever, and I'm pretty sure with the gear ratio, that car could probably do 270. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, but no one's gonna find out because, I mean, some nut won't try it one day, but you know, I'd be scared to see that car do a half mile.
Well, you had half mile GTRs going for it, like I mean, ETS did it for a long time, like you know, and with Chase, I think they did 258. I want to say, don't quote me, but it's somewhere in there, high 250s, mid 250s, something like that. And there was there's a lot of GTRs gunning for it for a while. Mm-hmm. The half mile stuff, it's just it gets fast. I was just in Marion when
Ship Sector,
when
I was supposed to go, I was stuck in an airport, freaking flights got canceled and all that stuff. I was so mad, but UGR broke the record. They're 261,
260, right? 260, which is, I mean, it's just nuts. I mean
it's fucking fast,
but they've been trying to do that in that car for I think almost a year and a half.
Year and a half,
they built that car specifically to do nothing but go break that record. I mean, they've been pushing it. I mean, more power to them. That's And to Mark, the guy that owns the car, I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of money.
It's in that car.
Prime example, like what Tony said, he's like, you know, it took about $400,000 to build Billy's car.
One shot. Like
From start to finish.
Yeah.
So
not including maintenance and blow-ups and all that stuff.
Just so like $400,000. But, you know, like he said, the second place car. I mean, I'm sure it's 1 point something to build a car like that.
Yeah, in a Lambo?
Yeah.
Oh man, that you want to talk about controversy?
Golly,
that depends on who you're going to, right? I mean,
well, let's just say we know what was he said the second place car, which was a UGR car,
right?
You know, and you know they have some interesting rules. You know, they're the way they make people sign contracts, and I don't want to get into detail on that because I don't want to get no cease and desist. But I'm pretty sure that they spend.
Quite a lot of money. Probably double that, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know some details as well that I probably won't get into. But yeah, you know, they have some stuff where you have to send their car back, your car back to them for a refresh. Mm-hmm. If you're gunning for records, you have to send the car back to them for a refresh. Which, you know, that's their prerogative. You know, whether they're protecting the customer, whether they're protecting themselves, that's a matter of opinion. But
right.
You know, so like if you go out and you do a half mile at 260 and your car's still running, you don't take it home. You send it back to them. Yeah. Because that's what you have to do. If you want to run it again, you have to have it refreshed. And again, that's their prerogative. I don't think there's anything unethical about that. I don't agree with it, but I don't think it's necessarily unethical. But yeah, that's an interesting scenario. But as Tony alluded to, yes, there was way more money in the second place car than there was the first place car. But like we said before, earlier, you just bought, that's just the cost of entry.
Yeah.
Right. So $400,000, like $400,000 is, I'm telling you, like, I will guarantee you, if Billy is listening to this, he's thinking to himself, that sounds cheap.
Yeah. He said it's over $1 million in both cars, him and George's car, between the both. Yeah.
One time, though.
One time, yeah.
Right. That's not like going to an event, rebuilding it, breaking the trans, breaking the engine, doing this, doing that, like trackside support, shipping, fuel.
If you want to both have it over like that, $400,000 one time, it'll be like that. Now the maintenance.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah. It's $400,000 to put it in your garage. Basically. It's not $400,000 to go race it.
That's a house. That's literally a house.
Pretty nice house.
And some. If you're in Florida. If you're in New York.
If you're in Louisiana, that's a nice house on some acres.
It's not a nice house in New York.
Well, the Lamborghini was a house on the water with a boat.
In Miami. In Miami.
Yeah, small boat in Miami.
Small boat in Miami.
Yeah, Miami's expensive too.
Yeah. But anyway, here nor there. That's
So with FL2K this year, right? What is one thing that you guys would both say that would encourage somebody who's, you know, maybe street racing or somebody who's younger to come to this event and participate in the event for the future if they're looking to build a car for drag racing or future FL2K 2X2K? Yeah.
For me, like, guys, I hope you guys know they have classes. Okay. Not all this thing is about 2,000 horsepower cars. And then the saying is, oh, if you don't have 1,500 horsepower, don't go to Texas 2K. That's not true. They have a lot of classes out here, a lot of They level it out. They try to even the playing field. A lot of people try to cheat and lie, but they also have rules. Like, sure. You go too fast, you know, they'll disqualify you because they know some, you know, and they try to make it even because so many people try to be sneaky. But if you're building a car from your garage or whatever, just come for the experience. And if you want to register your car, if you have a cammed, you know, V8 Coyote, you just want to come race, just come see what your car does. It's all experience. I remember growing up, my dad would take me to the drag strip, you know. It's a fun experience just to be here. The community, everyone's nice. You're going to see a lot of, and if nowadays, it's not like it used to be. It's social media has got a hold. You have big names that are going to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, big names that you guys want to see. Big shop names that you guys want to see. Just the experience. Come check out the cars. A lot of these shops, a lot of these guys are really nice. Like me, like my car. If you want, I let kids check out the car. Sit in the car. You want to take whatever you want to do. Like, I don't care. You're not driving it. But other than that, you know, but it's a great experience. Sissio, those guys are, you know, they have a really nice setup. They always got the, you know, but I'm saying, like,
put out the vibe, man.
It's a community. If you have kids or whatever, it's just fun. You know, it's a great experience. The racing experience here is fun, you know. So,
okay. Well said.
Yeah. I agree. To me, I mean, I agree 100% with everything that you said. To me, it kind of goes back to the whole camaraderie in the community situation, right? Like, if you're building your car to beat somebody else, then don't build it, right? Build your car for you and then come race it because you built it for you to go faster than you went last time. And then the competition is just fun, right? Then that's what the competition is built for, is to be fun. So, like, the feeling of being squashed or because everybody's car is faster than you, or you can't bring your car out because you're not the fastest, or you know, you're gonna laughed at, or you're gonna get picked on, or they're gonna talk crap about you, like that, if that's the last thing that I do in this industry, that's gonna go away. Like, the whole thing is, you want new people to get in this industry, you want new people to come out here and race their cars, they need to feel that welcome community. Put your arms around them. No, not really, but you know what I'm saying. Like, they need to feel welcome, so that they, and it doesn't matter if your car is a second slower. No. You know, you'll get there, or you'll come out here and learn something, or you meet somebody that can help you with something, or you know, the guy that beat you, maybe come over and shake your hand and say, "Hey, know you next time if you wanted to stage your nitrous different, or if you fixed your stall converter, or if you did a little more boost off the line, you know whatever." Like, that's what this community is about, right? Yeah. It is not about the like this all the time, right? So. If the community, I think, can get a little bit more in touch with where we were 15 or 20 years ago, and we were a team, we were a group, we were all like an industry that was unified, right? Oops, sorry.
There you go.
Then I believe it will entice more young people, people with a little bit slower car, somebody that may not feel like they can come out here and have a chance.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going to come out here. You're going to have a blast. Maybe you get your ass handed to you. Great. Go talk to the guy that handed you your ass and ask him a couple of questions. And the next time you're going to come out here and it's going to be a little bit less. And that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know, is just that trajectory, you know, getting better and better. And so I say, come out, hang out. We're the same way as you, man. Come sit in the cars. Come chill. Ask me as many questions as you want. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I can share something with you that'll help you or,
knowledge,
you know, create an experience, it's awesome. You know, that's what it's all about. And most people that come, they're that same way, especially to this event. They really are. Mm-hmm. And so I say, yeah, come out, please. Enjoy the car that you built. Doesn't matter if you're a second slower, you know, or a tenth slower or a second faster.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Come out and enjoy your car. It's all about that. It's about the community.
Okay. Right? So now how do you guys feel about like grudge racing? Maybe in the future, bringing that like street racing vibe to the track. Are you guys for that? Do you guys feel like that would help people?
We've already talked about
come that. To the track and kind of get them off the streets a little bit.
I think that's great. I mean, yeah. But you know, it's different, you know, because it's grudge racing is normally like a shop versus a shop or that's different. You know, I mean, because 9 times out of 10, I know you don't want to just be like, oh, I want to race the shop Houston. It's usually the customers that want to race another customer or that's how it is. And I think the grudge racing is cool. It's fun. And I don't see nothing wrong with, I mean, I did growing up. You want to race for $100? Let's do it. You know, like it's, I don't, now pinks, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Shit breaks, you're screwed. You lose your car, not doing pinks. But I don't mind racing for a little cash to have fun with someone you fuck with, you know. I mean, there's tons of people out here. I'm sure you have tons of guys out here you talk a little smack to that are friends of yours, you know.
Here and there, I don't talk smack.
I know, but
I'm not good at it. I really honestly suck at it. If I was good at it, I might do it more.
Yeah,
I'm not good. I'm like, well, your mom.
Yeah. Like, your mom. but like, okay, well, there's always people
really
out there.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but the grudge racing is fun. I like it. But it's, as long as it's an even race, you know, I actually enjoy seeing, I'd say slower cars. I'm not going to, I like saying like BMWs versus Trackhawks and shit like that because I just kind of love seeing a Mopar lose.
Yeah, so this guy,
I'm like, yes, I got my money on.
Not like Mopars.
But if I race
Mopar,
a Viper,
but he doesn't like Mopars.
Yeah, I like Vipers. Vipers. I don't think Vipers are Mopar. In my principle, it's a Viper.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a Viper.
Killer Shelby designed it, so it's not a Mopar.
Yeah. Shelby designed it. He's right.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you know?
So, but no, I mean, you know, like it's funny, but if I see Hellcat versus Hellcat, you know, usually I try to vote on the one that's got the brightest colors.
The biggest wheels.
The biggest wheels.
Not the smallest wheels.
So yeah, are you for that?
I'm 100% for that. What I would like, and again, I mean, I feel like an old man that's beating a dead horse here. But like with class, you can grudge race and legitimately shake the man's hand afterwards. Right? Like you do not have to be at odds. These people are doing the same. They're working their butt off to try to do the exact same thing that you love, right? Like we all love the same thing. We're not out here like, none of us are, I mean, I don't want to talk about, we're not building Teslas, right? Like we're out here like, I mean, they're fast, right? But there's not a lot to love there. But
fast-ish.
Yeah, quick, right?
Yeah, quick.
No, so like this guy is out here putting blood, sweat, and tears, his whole team into a car. Mm-hmm. And you're doing the same thing. You're out here doing the same thing, right? So like at the end of the day, I want the respect to come back. So grudge racing, absolutely. That's so much fun.
Yeah.
Sure, put some money on some stuff. Have some fun. Talk a little crap at the starting line, you know, whatever. But like if the other team wins, congratulate them. Like they worked hard and it's time for you to come back the next time. And don't cheat. Don't pull some BS. Like it's not.
What would they cheat? I'm curious. Tell me, please.
Well, the roll racing stuff in the
come on, right?
Like that, those games are in. They're crazy. Yeah. They're here. I mean, I don't want to. Last year here, the games were like.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was ridiculous.
People just want those. So they have so in roll racing at the light is a little different because you can kind of creep. Mm-hmm. And I hate that shit.
We spoke about slingshot stuff.
Slingshot, engage, you know, Ricky Bobby type stuff, you know.
And if on the roll racing side of things, if sometimes things happen in roll racing and the other guy doesn't mean for them to happen, because sometimes it's dang hard to line up from there to there,
right?
Sometimes that ain't easy. And different people drive different ways and their cars react different ways, and that's fine. But when you go three rounds and you're you're legitimately just screwing with the guy or lagging back or jumping the gun and playing games. Like, it's just obvious. Just stop doing that. Right? Like, I said it last year. I was like, why do you want to come out here not to find out if your car is faster? Mm-hmm. Right? You're not racing.
Yeah.
You're just trying to stretch the rules and figure out whether you can win something. And then why does that mean anything to you? How do you lay your head on the pillow at night and go, yeah, I won that race? So anyway, yes, grudge racing on the track, I think, would be awesome. I think that bringing more of the street scene to a racetrack and creating events around that needs to continue to grow. I think that's an awesome thing. Yeah. But it's not going to grow if the individuals doing it can't do it with some respect for each other.
It's
just not. So I say bring it, but just have some respect for the other person and know that they put their heart and soul into something. And if they did it better than you, then you should go back to the drawing board, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know, take it like a man.
I agree. Yeah, well, I definitely look forward to seeing both of you guys. Of course, we'll be at a few other events as well. Are you going to any other events after FL2K?
I don't know yet. They're trying to get me
to
go to
GTR Festival.
Yeah, they're trying to get me to go to GTR Festival.
It'll be fun.
The problem is like Texas is a long ways away, and it's right after Florida. So like this is a big event for us. We're putting a lot of I've got my team to think about, mm-hmm. right? Like, I've got a bunch of guys building a bunch of cars, right? Yeah. Like, I have 4 V10s that are coming to FL2K, mm-hmm. which is in what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah.
They don't have engines in them yet.
Yeah.
Right? Right? So,
my transmission is not my car. It's on the way. So I feel that.
So then you put your team through that, and then you're like, okay, cool. 3 weeks after that, we're going to go to another one. Oh, and by the way, you got to get in the truck and trailer and drive it halfway across the country too. You know, like, I don't know. I would love to. I think that event's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's in November. So, I mean, you got time. I mean, I know it's still quick. It's a quick turnaround.
Set
cars
up and...
Yeah, I mean, just to go, man. I mean...
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, you don't have to race, maybe. I mean,
you're necessarily... I mean, I think it'd be great just to show face. It's the first one from Australia.
Yeah.
Man, like, the experience in Australia was amazing. I went there, just... Everyone was cool. All the shops, they're cool with each other. They talk a little shit, but it was a great experience. And seeing R32s, R33s, and R34s, everywhere.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was cool as shit.
Yeah,
it was
maybe we just come out without a car. I know Jan, if you know Jan, I mean, he's got the GTR. I mean, he wants to go. So maybe I'll tell him, you can use my truck and trailer, and I'm going to get in an airplane, and I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Great.
But yeah, I mean, we might. Other than that, I mean, it's kind of a bummer that the whole DCT World Cup thing isn't happening again.
Yeah, man.
That's a little bit of a bummer. So that's not going to be a thing. So probably just prepping for... Well, I don't know. Is a TRC doing their Street Kings thing again?
Oh, they might be doing
it. In December. Yeah, it should be.
TRC does their Street Kings here. We'll come to that.
I'll probably go to that too.
Yeah, yeah. If they do their Street Kings thing, we did that last year and it was fun. You know.
Yeah.
Plus, it's like, it's so nice. We're 35 minutes from here.
Man, it's usually packed there, I heard too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a big event.
I like this vibe.
And yeah.
Tampa's a good city. I like to have fun, and every year that I come here, a lot of car guys. You know, we can go out to the little, like right, Tampa's not too far, and everyone's like kind of getting together with the car scene. I love this spot. I shout out to Vic, because this spot's
awesome.
Shout
out to Vic for making this happen. Sure. Thank you. Yeah, you shout out to Vic.
And I know he's trying to get money in people's pockets. You know,
yeah,
I know he's trying.
About that, yeah.
But, you know, you got to make it make sense. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if, like you said earlier, we'll say this before we go, but, you know, if these tracks were offering $500,000, everybody would be at these.
That's
tracks.
What
trying
I'm
to
saying.
Win.
Yeah,
trying to win.
The pot's higher,
and Vic's trying to make it happen. You know,
yeah,
but he's got to have the attendance. And we got to understand that. You got to respect that.
Right.
He's got to have the shops, the vendors, and the attendance to make that happen. That's why we're going to push this really hard. You know, shout out to Vic for Bridenton and his track out here. I think this is a great spot in Florida.
Plus, this area is a hidden, I know we got to go, but like, this area is a hidden gem, man.
It is.
You got Sarasota, Bradenton, right in the water. I mean, there's a freaking Ritz-Carlton. There's marinas. Mm-hmm. There's cool restaurants. There's, you know, downtown St. Pete. If you've been to downtown St. Pete, it is awesome.
You were telling me about that.
Is there a casino down here?
There is. Absolutely, there is. Yep. Casino down here. Yeah, I got a couple of customers that go
cars,
off.
Blackjack. Like a strip club. Yeah.
You got water. You got, I mean, intercoastal. You got ocean. You've got cars. You got, I mean, it really is. It's a hidden gem. And Tampa, it's a culture packed little city. Yeah.
And then Orlando's not too far too. So
yeah, it's like an hour, right?
Yeah,
an hour and a half.
I do appreciate you guys for making this happen.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of fun.
Appreciate you. And if you can let the viewers know where to find you guys on social media platforms.
Sisio Performance, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all that fun jazz. And come say hi at Florida 2K. And come to Florida 2K. This is coming out before Florida 2K?
Yes,
this
it is. Video? Yes, yeah. It is.
Come to Florida 2K. It is going to be an awesome time. Like you said, that's a vibe.
Yep.
It's going to be really cool. Yeah, Cletus is going to be out here racing his car.
Yeah, shout out to Cletus.
Shout out to Cletus, man.
A lot of fun.
Shout out to Cletus, man, because every year I come here, he lets me park my car in his little section. He's really nice.
You were saying
he's
that,
doing that all-wheel drive shootout the day before, too.
Yeah, I know.
Which, well, I'll be here for that, too.
Yeah, I'm racing in it.
Oh, you are? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the R8's racing in it.
So, man,
I'll be here. I'll see you then.
And have fun. Dan Rue on all platforms. Shout out to the shop Houston for helping me build my car and making shit go fast.
Beep.
Hey. Relax.
I'm sorry. Those guys know I love them. You know,
it's all good.
All right, guys. Well, this is great, man. Thank you guys so much for making this happen. Thank you for your time. I know it was super last minute, but I'm actually happy that you were able to
nice
come.
Nice thing about being 35 minutes away.
That concludes this episode, guys. Make sure you guys come out to FL2K October 3rd to the 6th at Bradenton Motorsports Park in Bradenton. And if you guys are listening and watching, make sure you guys hit that like button. Make sure you guys also subscribe to the channel and make sure you guys are listening on all streaming platforms. Until next time, guys, we will catch you on the next one. Peace.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.